Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, we had a marvelous time last week, wouldn't you say?
Amen.
Glory. Yeah. Oh, go on, son. I'm telling you.
It's good.
I thought about it when I went home. I thought about it this morning when I woke up, and it's just absolutely outstanding. And I want to welcome again Professor Greg Stevens here,
sir,
on this broadcast. Now, Gregory, for those that are not familiar, maybe new people just are not familiar with KCBC or Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Can you imagine my name on a Bible college?
Yes.
I can. Anyway. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Right at the very beginning of this ministry, I heard Brother Hagin say, I'm going to preach this gospel that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and He's our soon coming King. Mm-hmm. I'm going to preach it from El Paso to Texarkana. And then he said, if I could get the whole state of Texas, I could get it done. Then he said, and then I added to that Canada. Glory to God. Well, so I picked up on that, and I said, I'm going to preach this gospel, that Jesus save, Jesus heals, Jesus is our soon coming King, and He is our prosperity agent. And I'm going to preach it from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Glory to God. And then when I went on radio, I heard the Lord say this: I am coming so soon that I want this uncompromised word of faith on every available voice.
Yes, sir.
Well, back there then, just about all there was radio and television. And we were on the radio. Mm-hmm. And very soon, we wound up on 700 stations, which we were the largest religious radio broadcaster in the world.
Amen.
Amen. And the year before, our total budget had been $300,000 and change, the whole thing. By the end of the next year, because of the radio broadcast, our radio bill was $400,000 a month. And I remember writing to you partners, and there's a lot of you that'll remember this. The price of a pair of tennis shoes. Now, this will show you how things have changed. $12 and something, $15 or something in the 70s. Of course, now, but it's all a matter of inflation. Easiest thing, Greg, we ever did. This non-compromise. Now, what does non-compromise word of faith mean? That means like this. And this happened to me. We were in Oklahoma City. And we were staying with a very close friend. She was a widow woman. Her name was Lavinia. And she would just pile her car up full of people and take them to Brother Robert's meetings, because she got healed of cancer in his meeting. And she just take them to him. And Lavinia was a tad bossy. To say the least. Anyway, I woke up one morning with the flu so bad I couldn't. But no. I don't compromise this.
Right.
And so bad that when I woke up, And when I went to bed, I was all right. But when I woke up, oh, man, it was really bad. And so I sat up in the bed, and Gloria got up in the bed and caught me by the hair. And she I said, whoa. I said, Lavinia, do you happen to have an electric shaver? She said, yeah, good. I said, I don't want to turn Gloria loose with this. And she held me up and shaved my face with that electric razor shaver. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I felt like I'd been pulled through a keyhole. I mean, I was hurting everywhere, you know. Yeah. So we got in the car and we went over there to the church. And so by the time I got there, I felt pretty good. But I don't compromise. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. And I stood up in the pulpit, and the room started swimming around. The choir loft was right behind the platform, right. Small church. Brother Harshfield. Okay. In Oklahoma City. Okay. And so I went back there. And like Jesse said, me and the devil had a tussle and I won.
Amen.
I walked back out there and caught a hold of that podium. Now, what would you think I preached? I preached healing.
Yes.
And by the time I got into it a few minutes, there wasn't a symptom there left. I preached an hour and 15 minutes on the healing power of God.
Yes. Absolutely. Amen. That's you're being an available voice for what needed to be done.
Yes.
And that I'm an available voice of this ministry. At Kenneth Copeland Bible College, all of the people that are coming out are teaching that uncompromised, we're all available voices.
Take a moment here, Greg, and tell the audience what your assignment is in Kenneth Copeland Bible.
Well, I teach I call it First Covenant. Mm-hmm. I teach Old Testament. Old Testament survey, Old Testament truths. When we talk about Old Testament truths now, that's the upper class. We get into covenants. We talk about angels and demons and the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in the what we would call the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then in the spring courses, I teach New Testament survey, and I teach the Revelation of Paul. We get into we're starting this class next week. I can't wait. where we teach the just shall live by faith, looking at three books that Paul wrote, because he explains how the just live by faith.
So, in other words,
I do New Testament. Yes, spring.
That you have your life sustained by your faith. Mm-hmm. Now, and back there at the very beginning, I heard the Lord say this. Now, these are not just partners. They're covenant partners. Yes, and you covenant with them. And there's certain things that you will do. Mm-hmm. You will do it. You will write a letter to them every 30 days. You will pray for them every day. Now, my father in the faith, Oral Roberts, when he would leave the auditorium, he'd give an invitation, and then he would come out. And my first day in the invalid room, where, you know, like we said last week, that a large crowd, really, really sick people just don't do well.
In big crowds.
They get, it's very disturbing to them. And he would, he had a little table there just before he walked into the invalid room and a little black screen around it. And he would take his partner's names on microfiche. You remember what microfiche is? The young ones don't remember what microfiche is, but we know what microfiche is. And newspapers really were the ones that came up with microfiche.
Right.
And where you can take a picture and then shrink it down.
Expand it, yeah.
Well, I always wanted to do that, but I found a little different way.
Yeah, there you go. Basically the same thing, isn't it? A little flash.
All of my partners' names are in there.
Praise God.
And I carry it in my pocket. So, got you in my pocket. And I hear that. I hear it. And that's usually where I carry my phone. And I hear it jingle around a little bit. And my partners. Oh, my partners. God love them. And then I pray for them. Every time we pray over a meal, praise God. So, let's get right into this, Greg. In the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Oh, wait till you get there. Are you there? All right. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to do it by faith.
By faith. He doesn't know where
he's going. He's not going to tell him. I'll show you what to do. I'll show you where to go.
Yeah.
And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed. I love that. He got up and left town.
Yes, he
did. That's faith. Now, he said, those that bless you, I'll bless them. I heard the Lord say it this way. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will stop them that try to stop you.
That's right.
That's a covenant promise.
He started the covenant blessing and promise right there with that. I'm involved with what you're involved with.
That's right.
And that's part of the covenant. Now, can I point out something to you?
Absolutely.
A lot of people miss this. We'll say, I will bless thee, make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That's not what it says. Pay real close attention. I pay attention to the words. I pay attention to the minor details. Look what it says, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him.
Him.
Not them, him.
Yeah, I will bless them and curse him.
There's only one that curses.
Yes.
The curse came from him.
Yes.
That's it.
Lucifer.
The truth.
If you side, this goes to Israel, this goes to the body of Jesus. If you come against cursing part of the body, you have sided with the curse,
yep.
With him.
Him.
And this is back to covenant. You're going to choose the blessing or the curse.
Yes.
And you sided with him that is the source of the curse.
All right, now you brought up something. Let's go to Deuteronomy.
So many people misread that.
Well, I misread it for the last 34 years. I mean, 54 years, so...
curse
thank you.
Him.
Thank you very much, but that's reading your professor, Greg.
That's
and I'm just him, you know. I'm just brother.
No, cool.
Deuteronomy 30, or 19. Now, this is God speaking through, this is God speaking mm-hmm. through whom?
This is
through
this
Moses.
This is Moses. Moses, yeah, right. Moses. Thank you.
I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, the understood subject of the sentence here is you. Mm-hmm. You choose life that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life.
Mm-hmm.
And the length of your days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them.
And that is the land that Abraham left in faith to go find.
Yes.
So this is all done by faith.
Yes.
Because you're doing it like Abraham did it.
Well,
choose life.
Now we all know and remember that faith is a powerful spiritual force. You can't see it, but you can sure see the results of it. And the great hall of fame of faith in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, that God created everything through or by faith. I've heard preachers say he created it out of nothing. No, he didn't. It says he created it out of something you couldn't see.
That's right.
Which was faith. So, everything is by faith. Now, faith is not hard. Faith is simply believing what God said and obeying it. Just simply do what he said because he said it. Amen.
Amen.
Just go do it, like Abraham, and he got up and left. I like it. It's over and over and over. Abram, and then God covenant changed his name and put that H in the middle of his name, Hashem. Changed his, that's strong covenant. Changed his name, and over and over, God said and Abraham did. God said and Abraham did. God said and Abraham did.
It's also part of that name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the hay in there.
That's right.
In that name as well. This partnership is going to grow. Can I show you Genesis 18? Let me show you how this partnership, this covenant partnership that we saw where he obeyed him. He went to a place he'd never been before. In Genesis 18, let me show you an example of this. Verse 17.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is after Sarah had laughed and all of this. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
This is that 19th verse.
Yeah, he's repeating there what he said. Yeah. For I know him.
I know him.
That he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he's spoken of him.
He said, I know him.
I know him.
He's my friend. I know why. How do you know him? Because he's a faith man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know what he's going to do. I know how he's going to react. But he said the partnership had grown so much that God said, I can't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until I tell him.
Got to talk to him about it.
I have to talk to him about it because he's walking, Brother Copeland, in dominion of that covenant. That's exactly what he's done. Mm-hmm. He went to the land the Lord told him, just like he said he would. And then Abraham begins to petition of the Lord. Will you destroy the city if there's 50 righteous? Would you destroy it if there... He begins to lay his case out before the Lord about what's to do. And the angels... Lot is called a righteous man. Lot's 24 hours away from destruction, has no clue.
That's right.
About what's about to happen. But Abraham does because God told him. That's what covenant partnership will do for you. You'll know what's happening. We get a letter from you. We know what's happening, what the Spirit of God's saying to the prophet. And that's the inside information. Lots even family, and he doesn't know what's about to happen. Because that word right there, I know him.
Isn't that good?
Now, of course,
I know what he'll do.
of course, he knew Lot. He knew who Lot was. But he didn't have that covenant relationship with Lot that he had, even though Lot's righteous. But he had that with Abraham. And he's unaware of what's about to happen. I cannot do what we're about to do until I tell my covenant partner, Abraham. I have to discuss it with him. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. He never leaves us alone. You can't be alone, especially in the days that we're living right now. You need a spiritual covering. We saw that with David last week, and now here with Abraham, that God is so closely attuned to his covenant partner, Abraham, that he said, I can't move in the earth till I tell him. Praise God.
Yeah, amen.
So I have to tell him, and Abraham now, and I call it arguing with God. It's not the right word. He's not arguing with God. But in his negotiation with God, if there be this many, if there be that many.
He said in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, come, let us reason together.
And that's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing.
Now, do you realize in all of that reasoning, he never mentioned Lot's name. He said, if there's any righteous. He never said, now I want you to save my family, Lord. If you're righteous at all, you won't hit my family. He didn't say that. Mm-hmm. He said, if there be this many righteous. Well, he already knew Lot was righteous because Lot went with him in that move. Mm-hmm. He's part of the covenant. He went with faith with me. And so we follow you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When we follow our covenant partnership, we stay together in covenant. You're protected. You are covered, and there's a protection that happens that can't be explained in the natural. But those angels said, we got to get you out of here. They're on a timeline. It's like that guy we interviewed that President Trump pardoned last year.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Slough.
Yeah.
When he was talking, he said the warden, I guess it was the warden, person that was in charge said to him, do you accept the pardon? He had to, with his mouth, say, I receive the pardon. And if he wouldn't have, they'd have put him back in prison. It's a faith thing. He had to say it. Once they said it, the jailer said, you have 10 minutes. We cannot keep you here. It's against the law for us to keep you. Once he received it, and once we've confessed that, the enemy has to take his hands off. That's the angels. I got to get you out of here because of what Abraham did with his covenant partner, God. That's good news.
And we're out.
And we're out of time.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.